Aloha.
Aloha.
And welcome to Global Family Live. My name is Kay Snow Davis, your host on Global Family Live. And we are immensely blessed in this day to have a very special guest that I will be introducing to you here in just a moment. So what I would like you to do is just take a moment and take a very big breath, because no matter where you are or what your life feels like right now, this hour is just for you. So relax and take a deep breath and breathe in your aliveness. Now let your breath out and release your stress of the day. Breathe in love and release your breath in gratitude. And I'm in the deepest sense of gratitude for you joining us today on Global Family Live, and immense gratitude to our beloved, venerable Dahani Wahu, who has agreed to spend this time with us. So rather than the usual emotional temperature that we do on our regular show, I'd like to take this time to preempt that, and let's just become very conscious and receptive to this, our very special guest. Let me tell you just a little bit about her and her magic that she's weaving on this beloved earth. Because she truly, truly is a peaceful, peaceful expression of life and is supporting us to recognize peace as a way of life. Venerable Dahani Wahu is a spiritual leader, a peacemaker, a true peacemaker in her life, as well as her work as an author of Voices of Our Ancestors, New Crystal Teachings, Sky Dancer Teachings, and Dem Ruf der Erde Bogen. She is chief of Ani Yun Wiwad, which is Cherokee, and the founder of Sunray, an international organization and NGO dedicated to planetary peace. Venerable is recognized as Kahandro Dakini Sky Dancer, one who reveals secret teachings in Tibetan Buddhist Dharma. So I bring to you over the airwaves internationally on this, our beloved planet, this, our beloved peacemaker. Aloha and welcome, Dahani.
Thank you so much for the invitation and the opportunity to speak with you and others of like mind who understand that the seed of peace is within each of us, and that it is nurtured by our kind speech and our skillful activity.
And what I'm noticing, Dahani, with my international clientele, the very words that you've just shared with us seem to be for many even more challenging in today's world of what appears as chaos and transformation to actually embody that very thing that you're talking about. So what are you noticing about this transformation, Dahani, that would be helpful for our listeners to know how to cope and how to really sustain that peaceful place that you so clearly hold for us on this planet?
Well, the first step is to recognize the projections that are meant to instill doubt and fear as just that, projections.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that the power of the mind, in a sense, is like spooky electrons. When we, within ourselves, settle into a state of clear observation non-reaction. Like a bell ringing in the sky, that energy resonates out, and it makes it more apparent to others also. The imbalances generated by wrong view, wrong thought. To consider thought as energy, and that the thought energy of transmutation is applying an antidote internally to aggression. And by applying the antidote to aggression and fear within one's own mind consciousness, then also the resonance coupling benefiting others. So, yeah, it is a challenging time, and it is a most amazing time. And it is a very good fortune to be alive in this time where we can truly test the powers of the mind and speech to generate and bring forth what is beneficial.
Well, and what I'm hearing, Dahani, is a reminder to us that one thought has a quantum effect in the collective consciousness. So our individuated thinking is truly either gifting this planet or disturbing this planet.
Yes. Yes. Our thought contributes to what is arising. And so the person who begins to see the world inside and the angst and the suffering of the world as also an indication of energy potentials within our own continuum by allowing these energy patterns to reveal their inherent possibility of compassionate action, we also make changes in what appears outside.
And from that place, Dahani, how do you see the influence of these very amazing souls that are being born as babies? Mm-hmm. How is that particular thought form energy in these beings, how is that influencing the planet at this time?
Having the good fortune to having met some of these incredible young people who are being born in this time, they come here with the mind and they say, even before they gain verbal skill, they say they've come to help. How they help is that they do not react
mm-hmm.
to stimulation that is non-liberating.
Mm-hmm.
So they see the grasping and the fear energies that people may have been motivated to believe as real, and these young people don't respond to it. They look at it, and sometimes they even laugh.
Uh-huh. Do you see that there are some special ways that as ancestors for all of us who have been here longer than our new babies, we have some form of ancestry for them? Do you see ways that we can support their presence on this planet that we are not doing right now?
Yes, much more attention to true creative education where youngsters are acknowledged as thinking beings.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first step.
Mm-hmm.
And to honor each young being as having the seed within of a great awakened being.
Mm-hmm.
So even though they're tiny and all of the linguistic skill sets may not be fully apparent, there is an awareness that sees things directly. And so we can support them through acknowledging, yes, that is so. Oh, that's wonderful to hear. For example, when a young person tells you, I'm becoming one with the water today, to listen deeply and, oh, how wonderful the water, it flows. You're one with the water today. What is the water revealing to you? And what are you giving to the water?
So when we allow these beautiful, pure beings to open a doorway for our consciousness, that if we follow with respect of their being as well as what they're presenting to us, then it allows a lot of change to come for the ancestors too, doesn't it?
Yes, more and more it is, let's say, there's more attention to the fact that we are the ancestors of those yet to be born, and we are our own ancestors, and we also are the future beings. So there is this cognition of, in this very moment, in the now, of our direct relationship with the past and the future. So, in a sense, by resolving or allowing the contradiction to reveal its creative potential in this moment is also benefiting the ancestors and the present and future generations.
Now, Tahani, I know from some of my years of work with beautiful painted arrow and sun bear, some of the other bear heart, some of the wonderful Native Americans of this Turtle Island, that one of the things that I've heard is that in the clearing, being present in the now, that it does allow clearing for seven generations, what we would call back into our history or our ancestry, and seven generations forward into the future. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it is not limited to seven generations, because with the advantages of good health in this time, many Native families actually have living, as we do in my family, five generations. So seven generations is not that far off in terms of time. And the actions that we make in this moment resonate throughout time into the many possible futures that are arising from our speech and our action.
I'm blessed also, Tahani, with five generations at this time on my mother's side of the family, and it's an exciting, blessed experience, isn't it, to have five living generations?
Yes.
Very special. Now,
and,
go ahead, Tahani.
And it is amazing how the youngest have the most clear and articulate communication with the eldest.
Isn't that? I see that also when in our five generations, how my great-granddaughter has this phenomenal link with her great-great-grandmother.
Yes.
It's so beautiful, isn't it?
It is amazing.
And just the life force exchange on a nonverbal level is so tremendous. It's almost like they've been waiting for each other, isn't it?
Well, actually, my great-granddaughters have said that to me.
Oh, that's so beautiful. How old is your great-granddaughter?
4.5 and 2.5.
Oh, you have two.
Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, you know, as you were speaking to Honey about our education support for these beautiful beings, there's a lot of questioning by many, many parents who are more and more conscious and desiring to respect their children as these amazing, masterful souls and support them in their life, in the social conditions that we have as human beings, that sometimes they're very torn between, should they send their child to a public school? Should they send them to a private school? Should they homeschool them? Do you have any sense of what is the best support for these beloved children?
Certainly those families who are able, homeschooling, particularly in the first 6 to 8 years, is wonderful when the parents have the wherewithal.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other families that are also homeschooling, so there's a sense of a team.
Mm-hmm.
And the children have interaction with others, and there's an opportunity for sports.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second option, which works very well, is school cooperatives that are created by parents working together and to hire very well-educated teachers, and the parents also take part cyclically in offering courses within the school.
Mm-hmm.
I found this has been very beneficial. And also in our community, many families worked with what was called the Better Baby Institute, where we worked with flashcards with the children when they were very young. All possible information, anything they showed interest in, we would gather as much data about that subject and just paste it on cards and flip the cards as pictures.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And the children who've experienced that have done very well when they went to high school and also are doing well in college.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So it really is an act of incredible courage to be a parent in this time, because culturally the systems don't support parenting and raising a family in a complete way, because so often both parents are working or there's only one parent at home. And so this shows the importance of communities of learning and communities of caring and supporting each other.
I think that, you know, having lived for 17 years in the islands, Tahani, that what you're speaking of so much to me sounds like and feels like that sense of ohana, where we really care for our children as our children. It doesn't have anything to do with bloodline.
Yes.
And they know that. They know when they are loved just because they're there and present.
Yes. When people can feel when they are respected for who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And also young people feel the negative projections that many adults project onto young people.
Yes.
Because of the habits of the past.
Mm-hmm.
Too often children were seen as something to be tamed.
Right.
And for people in our generation and our parents' generation, there are still echoes of that view.
Mm-hmm.
So to move from a domination modality to a cooperation modality is the big step for our planet.
And I see that, Tahani, as a major contribution that each one of us who have been on this planet a longer time than our children coming in, when we learn to be respectful of all life, and include our children and include the all of the creatures,
mm-hmm.
that then the quality of life is increased for all life.
This is true.
Now,
there is definitely a reciprocal relationship with our consciousness, with each other, and the environment. Just in terms of storm systems.
Yes.
We've had storms go around our valley, even to the other side of the mountain. And sometimes it is very clear that it's a result of our continued prayers of appreciation.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dahani, I know I'd like to track this with you a little bit about the weather because, you know, the scientists in the last 6 or 8 months on some of the reports that I've been receiving are actually talking about the solar flares influencing the weather and the storm conditions on the planet. And then they've also started including human behavior.
Yes.
And I think it's about time, don't you?
Yes. And these are things Native Americans and perhaps other indigenous people as well have spoken of. The relationship of our consciousness, our emotions, and our behavior with the environment. And there is a particular link with the sun.
Mm-hmm.
When there is agitation and anger and the withholding of love, it creates instability
mm-hmm.
in the field of the sun. It may seem far out.
Mm-hmm.
Yet when there are when there are wars, there are more strange solar flares.
Very interesting.
And when there is withholding of love in the extreme sense, which is then the causing of harm through aggressive war activity,
mm-hmm.
also this creates changes. And the lightning grid work,
mm-hmm.
which then has a reciprocal relationship with the sun, as well as with the ley lines of the earth. So it's wonderful that scientists are waking up to the knowledge of the mystic. There is a definite connection of our consciousness with the entire, with all of the universes. So the greatest harm is caused because it creates short circuits is the withholding of love.
And that's, of course, this incredible aspect we see of the presence, the pure presence of love that comes in our new beings, whether that's in human form or all other life forms, and how the universe is perpetually bringing to this planet the gift of life and the pureness of life so that the real power of love that lives within every cell of our being has the opportunity over and over and over to respond to the gift of love.
Yes. Occasionally, one can perceive or recognize love as a magnetic process, and that love is the opportunity for the potential in every situation to be revealed.
Mm-hmm. You know, Tahani, it was July 4th in 1984. I was in Two Bunch Palms with a couple of my friends, and I was awakened at 4 o'clock in the morning in this incredibly black room with a huge, huge face of Albert Einstein.
Mm-hmm.
That was like up in the upper left-hand corner of this room. And then to the right were E equals MC squared equals love.
Yes.
And Einstein told me that he said, love is a force field of power. It is not just a sentiment.
Yes.
And it completely changed my experience of, you know, the way we've been categorized to believe what love is, instead of that it is literally a force field from exactly what you're saying, Dahani, that place from whence all life comes and all life is called and all life returns. So as you're talking about withholding love, Dahani, it's just like it's impossible and it's incredibly disturbing to every facet of the universal pattern, isn't it?
Yes, and it occurs on and begins on such subtle levels. First, disliking one's own life or shame, pain, blame. Then the thymus becomes smaller, the heart field becomes less facile. And the impact of withdrawing into the concept of a separate individuated being mm-hmm. becomes a cause of even more suffering. Similar to your experience, once in Ireland, I guess it was about 4 years ago, I was thinking about during the lunch break, I went into a little cabin and I was right there on the sea and, oh, let me see how my mom's doing. And I tuned in to her and she's a very, very smart lady and very witty. And so I tuned in to her and, oh, you're a good mom. I'm glad you're well. And then the next thing, I'm looking through her heart and I'm seeing her mother and all mothers.
Oh.
And then I was standing in space with these giant beings like nebulae, or more like the eagle nebula. And they said, well, gee, it's sure taken you a long time. When are you going to show people that scarcity is a false and harmful illusion? And I said, well, what do you mean? Well, your planet, and you went there for a reason. It reminded me of my mission in case I'd forgotten. And your people are still focusing on scarcity, and they're withholding love. I said, well, I'm staying with friends. One is an economist, so tell me, what would the world look like? Because we've discussed this in the transition from the market economy to a world of cooperative exchange has not been fully manifest. So show me. So they took me to three different worlds. On the first world, each person had a requirement to, for 1 month out of the year, to sit in the forest and meditate. And their meditation became an energy that was similar to electricity. Their meditations were interfaced with the lightning grid work and the ley lines of the planet. And then this energy was gathered, and it moved machinery, and it made it possible for people to build buildings, and those were the taxes. A month each rotation around their sun. One month out of a year of the people meditating, and they built everything from the energy that was made coherent. And then another world where people also their taxes, so to speak, were to meditate. And as they meditated, things were created instantly.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever was needed, people were sort of like meditators in a energy bank, and it became apparent that it's time for a new bridge to be built, and they conceptualized, visualized, energized with their meditation,
mm-hmm.
and the bridge was built according to the specs and the need of the river that was being crossed.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the third world, they showed people were of one field, mind consciously.
Mm-hmm.
And those who wanted to explore possibilities even created mini worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Where they explored possibilities of thought, of design, of living. And their bodies were more like energy,
mm-hmm.
and their abodes were energy projections created in the moment and dissolved in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, well, thank you for showing me this. And all this you and your people can do, like I wasn't doing my job well enough, a little chastisement there. Get back there and tell them this. And so I did return to the classroom, and we discussed this, and the idea of, in an instant, minds together manifesting what is beneficial is becoming more and more apparent and accessible to many.
Mm-hmm. This is so profound, Dahani, and I thank you so much for being willing to share this precious information. And it answers a huge question for me that I've asked for years from this one phrase in the Christian Bible when Jesus said, "And these things ye can do, and even greater things."
Yes.
And this that you have just shared with us, to me, is the greater things. It's exactly what this master knew and holds that place of being, is creation as vibration, as thought, as energy, as movement. And each of us are a receiving station for energy as well as a distributing station.
Yes.
So this is a very amazing time. Now, Dahani, I know you come from a long lineage of amazing wise ones, and there's many times this statement of, oh, this time in our life and this time in the world is different than it's ever, ever been. What is your sense of that?
This is a remarkable time. Just as in music, when the music comes to a place of conflict before it changes into the next key, we are at that place of moving from one key to another. And so what appears as dissonance is energy potential.
Mm-hmm.
That carries us into a realm of more, well, carries us into a more subtle realm of understanding and action.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, without time. So the constructions of the mind are being shown as just that. Constructions of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And more it is apparent the impact of our view upon the electrons that give rise to the forms.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, it is indeed appearing chaotic And yes, I do think it has happened before.
Mm-hmm.
That worlds arise and dissolve and arise again. And the result, the world that's being co-created, that's determined by all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important message is the message of forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
not holding on to blame or shame, because these become the basis of reactive states and also the basis of wars.
Mm-hmm.
Your people did this to my people. That's my land. That's my view. That's my religion.
Mm-hmm.
So to recognize the interweaving of the melodies of many cultures exploring the field of potential, that seems to be the big lesson, that our many cultures can coexist like melodies weaving together and bringing forth what is truly beneficial and liberating.
Mm-hmm.
And so the image that comes to me is a rainbow Taurus ring.
Uh-huh.
You know the Taurus ring?
Yes.
It's imagine the tube from your dryer, and you've painted colors on it, and then you've sewn it into a circle.
Uh-huh.
And you can rotate it. So that rainbow Taurus ring is also a reminder of continuous possibilities arising
mm-hmm.
from space.
Mm-hmm.
And what do we choose to energize?
Mm-hmm.
Also, the emotions can be locking people into deeper suffering, or we can recognize that our emotions are also vehicles of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
For example, when you are hungry and you have no home, it is difficult to do anything except run and try to find food.
Right.
And there is something that keeps one walking, even when the mind may say or the situation may appear that there is nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
So within each person is a seed of understanding and knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And in a sense, the grasping at one view being the best, or the land being mine, or this way the only way, are attempts to corral people into forgetting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we do have a spiritual responsibility to respond to injustice, to point out that is not balanced,
mm-hmm.
and that is has repercussion. And also internally to acknowledge any hidden seeds of the outer appearance within one's own psyche.
Right.
Because dictators get away dictating because human beings acquiesce their spiritual authority.
Mm-hmm.
Or abdicate their spiritual mm-hmm. authority.
You know, when you're talking about the constructs of our belief, and that as we release those, I can see with what you're saying, Dahani, that our spiritual self calling us out of our small minds is going to generate a certain sense of response and reaction in the thought field that we as human beings could register as chaos, when in fact it's the preemptive place for the birthing of an expanding consciousness, because it's the only reality there is our heart and soul is calling us eternally to express in our essence and in our fullness. So it seems to me there's a way that we can also embrace chaos as a mile marker and a symbol that there's dramatic change wherever chaos is occurring, because it cannot hold the same constructs in belief.
When you shine the light on a situation, the thought form seeks to hide, and ultimately it dissolves and the energy regroups. And eventually it regroups in a life, an intelligence-enhancing way.
Uh-huh.
Rather than a continual dominion way. Perhaps the sense of dominion and domination was part of learning about the particulars.
Uh-huh.
And certainly the particulars have been unraveled, even down to the subatomic level.
Uh-huh.
Which brings us again to the mind.
Right.
And so here is an incredible opportunity to energize and actualize a world of harmony. This also means we have a responsibility to note inequity and make corrections.
Uh-huh. Now, Tahani, I think that's such an important piece of noting and making corrections and maintaining the pieces that you're telling us about, to not withhold love, to offer forgiveness, to be accountable. Do you have some suggestions for us and our listeners on how can we do that? How can we see the injustice and add a positive energy for correction that isn't done through resistance, it isn't done through resentment or reaction to the anger and the fear?
Yes. A practice that is helpful is to listen to the sounds of the people of the earth, to hear on the wind and the flowing of the water, what are the conditions?
Uh-huh.
And where there are refugees wandering from place to place, internally create the space of home and sanctuary for them.
Uh-huh.
And I'm convinced through experiments that the generation of the image of resolution of food for the hungry, it opens a gateway for the energy of action to
mm-hmm.
be revealed.
Mm-hmm. And that's a key piece, isn't it, Tahani, is not only are we working with transforming and liberating the constructs of our beliefs, but then to take the breath and take the action into the demonstration of that.
Yes. Yes. So first it is internal offering of food, water, a place of safety for those who are lost and without food or medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the physical level, doing what you can to manifest food for the hungry,
mm-hmm.
Clean water, a place of safety for those who are bereft of hope.
So we have lots of opportunities at this moment on this planet to surrender withholding love and surrender blame and really activate tremendous, tremendous offerings of love and support, don't we?
Yes, let the concept of blame, the concept of them in us dissolve into the awareness of energy potential to accomplish what is energizing and liberating.
Tani, what is your thoughts in this potential and the energy? What is your thought about our children who are being labeled autistic, or they're being labeled ADD, ADHD? What kind of energy do you see that these special beings are bringing into this planet?
Certainly, the brains are wired differently, and many of the young people who are being born and many who have been labeled this or that. And also, there is an undercurrent of almost deliberate poisoning of the field through too much of chemicals. And so there is the impact of chemistry and electromagnetic fields on the laying down of information and the pathways formed in the brain of those who are developing in utero and in early life. So the children are expressing the potential to integrate and resolve the dissonance created by substances that are incongruent with life.
Now, Dahani, as ancestors choosing to be accountable and breaking out of constructed beliefs, how would you recommend that we direct our thought form to support neutralizing this chemical poisoning?
Of course, by buying organic and locally produced food. I mean, that's on the simple level.
Right.
And that's challenging for many people.
Yes, it is.
And as many who are able to create a small garden, this is reestablishing a circle of balance in the environment. Also, there are prayers of appreciation for the water that... My grandparents said, and I've also seen evidence of it, such prayers actually transmute poisonous substances.
Now, are these prayers that you can share with others? Are they just of your lineage?
Yeah, there are very simply when you before you take a sip of water to hold it up. I am thankful for this water as it flows through my body. May it be medicine as it flows through my body and returns to the earth. May it be medicine for the earth, for the rivers as it rises from my body. As a mist into the air, may it be medicine for the atmosphere. I'm shortening the prayer. And it was one of those hidden mysteries, and a chief thundercloud, a Cherokee who lived in New Jersey years ago, he brought the prayer back to people. And once I was in Zurich and I opened a bottle of water, And as I sipped it, I could see him standing on rocks in the middle of a brook.
Wow.
Holding water in a shell up to the sky, making a prayer.
Wow.
And that was the confirmation, wow,
mm-hmm.
his prayers really do go far.
Really do go far. Dahani, are you familiar with Dr. Masaru Emoto from Japan?
Yes, people have showed me his books and his works, and it's quite wonderful.
I was just thinking when you were talking about these water prayers, because that's his heart's passion, is to teach the world to be in love and gratitude for the water. So here's another culture, you know, and using scientific support to help people see the difference of water when we are in love and gratitude for it.
Yes. Appreciation is a powerful force.
Mm-hmm.
It also can be a transmutive energy that reveals an elixir even in what appeared afflicted, poisonous substance.
Now, Dahani, are you differentiating between love and gratitude and appreciation? Are they each a different vibration?
Yes. Appreciation is a continuity of a circuit. It's returning something to the flow. Gratitude is saying thank you. It's not quite returning to the flow. And love is a magnetic force that has as a subset appreciation and gratitude.
So they each have their own special vibration, don't they?
Yes.
Now, I know the Institute of Heart Math in Boulder Creek, California, has done extensive study on the vibration and the energy and how it influences the variable rate in the heart. And they have found, Tahani, that appreciation is the highest vibration they can scientifically register in influencing the heart variability rate. It brings it into a more coherent field with the actual resonance with the earth as they can register it scientifically.
Yes, it completes the circuit. How wonderful.
So living in appreciation is almost like the full breath then, isn't it? It's taking in as well as in gratitude, so it's a very important part of our life is to be in appreciation of everything and then the gratitude and the thankfulness, and then love is the field within which all of that is existing.
Yes, that's very eloquently said.
Well, Tahani, is there any special ways that you are focusing on the planet right now that you would like to enroll us as audience and participants and fellow travelers to be in thought and support and prayer with you?
Well, our whole galaxy is receiving energy from another dimension. And so it is wise to understand that the Earth can...
Hello? Well, we may have lost. Well, I think that was a pretty powerful statement that Dahani was sharing with us, powerful enough, literally, to disconnect her phone line with us. So I want you to know that when it's appropriate and Dahani has time, I will have her back on. And please let us know of your questions. You can always send them to info@globalfamilyeducation.com. If you would like to have more information about Dahani's work, please go to www.beautyproductions.com And you may send emails to this company at info@beautywayproductions.com. Dahani's name is spelled D as in David, H-Y-A-N-I. Last name is Y, W-A-H-O-O. You can also Google that name and get a lot of additional information about the tremendous work and support she's providing on this planet. So I thank you so much for your participation, and I'm in Japan, and I will be returning the first part of November. So until then, I'm saying to you, Ano ai ko alahele, blessings on your journey. Ahui ho, until we meet again. Aloha.